a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The House Commerce and Energy Committee will now come to order.
I don't think your mic's on, Mr. Chair.
I don't need a mic for the gavel.
House Commerce and Energy Committee will now come to order. I'd like to welcome those that are with us here in the committee room today, as well as those listening on the internet. A reminder to turn off your cell phones or other electronic devices through the course of this morning's session. And with that, I would ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representative Fargin.
Here.
Greenfield. Holly.
Here.
Hubble.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Kirschman.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Nerstrup.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Willitson.
Here.
Consett.
Here.
And Solem.
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum with a majority of the members elect present. And with that, I know you've all had the opportunity to review the minutes of our last meeting, and with that, I would entertain a motion. Motion to approve the minutes by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Consett. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. And before we hop into today's business, I'd like to have our pages come up to the microphone and introduce themselves. Tell us where you're from.
My name is Katie Martinez, and I'm from Custer County.
Welcome.
I'm Jessica Lentz, and I'm from Oneida.
Thank you. And should anyone wanting to testify need to have anything handed out to the committee members, our pages would be more than happy to accommodate you. I think we can go to work. With that, since you'll notice the very first bill on our agenda is mine, I'm going to pass the gavel to Representative Consett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Welcome, everybody. We'll now open the hearing on House Bill 1201. Gentle reminder, make sure that all your electronic devices are off. We will hold questions until after the testimony. Now, proponent testimony on House Bill 1201. Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And good-looking and scholarly members of the House Commerce and Energy Committee. And that was inclusive of you, Representative Fargin. I just had to do that. I'm sorry. Let me give you a little background on House Bill 1201. And essentially, it has to do with the existing large project statute and excise tax refunds that were associated with the large project program. As we all know, that whole program was due to sunset at the end of this year. And last session, we had approved an alternative to that for to spur our state's economic development. And that measure that we approved last year has been referred to a vote of the people in November. And I brought this piece of legislation simply to spur on conversation, and it, should that measure be successful, and this were this program due to sunset at the end of this year, I just wanted to make sure we had a fallback position. There are a number of pieces of legislation still in play, both on the House side and the Senate side, and after the House um, Yeah, the Appropriations Committee, I think, is where it ended up. There was another bill in Appropriations that was essentially the same as this one, and the language in that bill had been stripped out. It's now a vehicle bill that will help us in further negotiations trying to get an acceptable replacement to spur on our economic development. And since that did come out approved out of Appropriations this morning, I have no need for House Bill 1201 anymore. And with that, Madam Chair, I would ask for a tabling motion on the House Bill 1201.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. Wow. It's customary when the prime of a bill asks for the bill to be ended that we do so. Thus, the chair feels a move to table is in order.
Second.
Representative Greenfield has moved House Bill 1201 to table. It was seconded and thirded. I wouldn't take any offense to that. So there's no further discussion when a tabling motion is in order. The question on hand is moved to table House Bill 1201. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nerstrup.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
And Solem.
Aye.
We have 13 yeas.
House Bill 1201, having received a majority of vote of the members present to table, do pass. And I will return the gavel to its rightful owner.
Just as a note, just an observation, I noticed how quickly they can turn on the chair, given the opportunity. Okay, that takes care of our first item of business. Let's move on, and we'll go in the order that they're listed on our agenda. The next bill up for our committee is Senate Bill 34. Senate Bill 34 is an act to revise certain provisions and delete certain obsolete provisions pertaining to the Department of Labor and Regulation. And with that, I will open proponent testimony to Senate Bill 34. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Nathan Lucas. I'm here on behalf of the Department of Labor and Regulation. Senate Bill 34 is the department's efforts from the governor's red tape review initiative. As I'm sure you're all aware, the governor charged each of the departments with taking a good look at all of their statutes and rules and getting rid of any outdated, unnecessary regulation to streamline the process, simplify the code, and shorten the code. So the 26 or so pages in front of you is the result of that effort. I will hit on the main points, and if you have any questions or concerns, I'll stand by and address those as needed. The bulk of the bill repeals out-of-date provisions. There are numerous grandfather clauses that were set to lapse in 2006, 2009. So simply by the passage of time, they have become obsolete. It also clarifies the intent of some of the statutes, uses better wording, just more or less a lot of cleanup in there. With that said, I will hit on the main points here, or what I'd refer to as the meat and potatoes of the bill. Sections 4 through 9 repeal various banking statutes which were enacted in the 1980s during the savings and loan crisis with the intent of drawing out-of-state bank holding companies to acquire South Dakota banks. These statutes have sat unused since their inception. It was one of those things where they thought it was needed, turned out it wasn't, so they're not serving any purpose at the present time. Sections 10, 18, 20, and 24 are all banking statutes. And the substantive change in there is removing the approval authority from the Banking Commission to the Director of Banking. This was done throughout the rest of the chapter in 2008 by way of Senate Bill 17 and Senate Bill 85, and these statutes were not changed. The reason for doing that was to, one, streamline the process. A lot of the applications and administrative things were getting backlogged because the Banking Commission is only required to meet twice a year by statute. Another benefit of doing this is it freed up the Banking Commission to act as the appellate authority. If anybody's aggrieved by the decision of the Director of Banking, they can then appeal to the Commission. When the Commission was the one making the decision, it didn't allow for that process. Section 12 repeals a banking statute regarding the approval of voting trust agreements, which just feel is simply unnecessary regulation, and there's no need for banking to be involved in that. Likewise, Section 17 removes an unnecessary requirement that all ownership units of trust companies be valued in multiples of five. Again, no reason for us to be micromanaging at that level. Section 20 also streamlines the process to allow for the conversion of an LLC into a corporation or corporation into an LLC with one application. The current process would require multiple steps to accomplish the same thing. You'd have to, if you were currently a corporation, would have to file an application to establish the LLC and then file an additional application to convert the corporation to the LLC. This change simply allows that to be done in one foul swoop instead of taking multiple steps. Section 29 is simply an out-of-date requirement on mortgage brokers. It was initially required at the federal level that this be in our state statute. The SAFE Act of 2009 removed that federal requirement, so this is simply a cleanup, getting it off our books as well. Section 30 moves into insurance and repeals a definition of reinsurance, which is also defined in 5814.1, which is the chapter on reinsurance. So it's duplicative and it's better suited in the other place, so there's no reason to have the definition in there twice. Section 37 is an outdated insurance statute which requires payments made by that insurers pay claims on drafts or checks, which precludes electronic payment. And in today's market and technology, electronic payments are very common, so we are removing the outdated paper check draft requirement. Sections 38 through 54 repeal Chapter 58-42 in its entirety, which is a chapter regulating legal expense insurance. Legal expense insurance is non-existent in South Dakota. This chapter was enacted in 1988. It sat untouched. Not a single statute has been amended since their inception. It's simply not needed. It doesn't exist here and is not regulated by the Division of Insurance. Section 55 amends an unemployment insurance statute simply to remove the requirement of paper printing and mailing of material and allowing certain things to be disseminated via email or posted on the internet. Primarily pertains to, you know, the code sections, rules, annual reports, things of that nature, which the change will not preclude us from printing and mailing, but just also allows us to make it available by electronic means if so requested. And Section 59 reorganizes Chapter 61-1, 61-5, and 61-6 in the Unemployment Insurance Code. There's no substantive change being made here, just reorganizing the statute so it's a little more reader friendly and flows. Over the years with changes and additions, it's become a little discombobulated and it's not very conducive to the layperson opening up the book and understanding what the requirements are. Those are the high points of the bill, and with that I will stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lucas. Any additional proponent testimony to Senate Bill 34, proponent testimony. No further proponent testimony. I will open it up for opponent testimony. Opponent testimony for Senate Bill 34. Seeing none, I would close the public testimony portion and open it up to committee questions. Committee questions. Representative Hawley.
Mr. Chair, if I may, Mr. Lucas, I got a question here. Everything looks really good here, just clean up, but you made this comment on page 26, you're dealing with the legal insurance, and you said that it's not in South Dakota. I have been approached by several entities to represent legal insurance on a group basis. So is there a different product you're talking about or what?
Mr. Lucas.
Mr. Chair. I think this will answer your question. Legal expense insurance, as defined in that chapter, is non-existent in South Dakota. However, there are other similar products, such as prepaid legal and things of that nature, that do exist but are not regulated and are not encompassed in Chapter 58-42. So there are similar products, but they're not affected by this repeal and are not regulated by the division.
Then. Are they regulated somewhere else at all then? Within a division or not?
Please.
No, sir. The prepaid legal plans are not regulated because they are not insurance. They are prepaid plans. And I guess all I can say is they are not regulated anywhere under the department. I do not believe they are regulated under any other department or agency.
Additional questions? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question on page 7, section 10. The insertions of the words director or, and I know that you talked about it briefly in your testimony, but tell me again why the inclusion of director or, and you're not striking commission or what have you.
Mr. Chair.
Please.
The reason for that would be there could currently be situations where the commission approved or disapproved. So if we were to outright strike it and not leave director or, it would change anything that's happened in the past.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me. Currently, is the director able to disapprove?
Mr. Chair.
Because it would read that that's not the case currently.
Mr. Chair, if I may, the
Certainly.
Director of Banking is sitting right over there, and he may be better suited to get into the mechanics and address the representative's question.
Is that acceptable, Representative Greenfield?
Sure, please.
Please.
Mr. Chairman, Brett Aftal with the Division of Banking. Could I have Representative Greenfield repeat which section
Certainly.
He's looking at?
I'm looking at Section 10 on page 7. I just want to understand how in function what we're putting in place here will change present day status quo.
Mr. Chairman.
Please.
It's really just a mechanical change. Back in 2008, with Senate Bill 17, most of the approval authority was transferred from the commission to the director at that time. But currently, there still are some instances where commission approval is required, or there's certain statutes that reference either director or commission approval. Most of that deals with the resolution of depository institutions. But in this particular case, there are some cases where a bank could apply directly to the commission. They could go around the director. And this is just really, for the most part, we prefer to have those decisions come to the director because, you know, we're there every day. I can have one of our examiners review the request and issue a decision. But if they do apply to the commission generally, we're going to get involved anyway. They'll ask us to do the analysis on it. Sometimes we'll issue a decision because I'm also the executive director or executive officer to the commission, so I can issue a decision on behalf of the commission. So it's really just two different options to really accomplish the same thing.
Mr. Chair.
Please.
I think I've got it now. Is it safe to say that already referenced in other sections is the director's, that this is under the director's purview to disapprove an application, and we're just making the law reflect that. I mean, it would seem to me that it's probably been an oversight in the past.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Yes, this particular section is specific to stock subscriptions, but all the application requests for to establish a new bank, to establish a new branch, to move a branch, to change the control of an institution, currently those applications all come to the director, and then there's a specific timeline. I make a decision on it, and then if the applicant is aggrieved, they can appeal to the commission. We're also required to do a publication, so if a member from the public or a competitor or something wants to issue a comment, they can, and then they could request a hearing before the commission on that application.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Okay. Any other questions? Seeing no further questions,
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hubble.
Is questions and comments or just questions right now?
If you have a question of anyone that's testified...
No, I'll just say for comments.
Okay. And with that, I will close the public testimony portion and open it up for committee discussion or action. Representative Hubble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did read through this, and I was a little concerned that it include, and I'll just list here, real estate, plumbing, bank holding companies, banks with insurance companies. It included selling of chattel. It included, trust companies, mortgage bank internships. It included, legal expense insurance plans, stock and mutual insurances, entity law. And I just had a hard time with this being one subject, labor termination policies. And I was just a little bit confused why this fit under one subject. And with the explanation I've been seeking, I can see how it does. It was a little hard to get through, but I think it's a good bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any other comments? Representative Wilson?
Mr. Chair, you said we're open to action?
Yes.
I'd move do pass.
The motion do pass by Representative Wilson, seconded by Representative Fargin. Comments?
I think this is a good bill. It does a lot of cleanup in our statute and such that that the governor asked all of the departments to do, and I think this should move forward.
Thank you. Any other comments? Chair would have one quick comment, and regarding your comment, Representative Hubble, I had the opportunity to see this piece of legislation prior to Christmas, and. It concerned me a bit, and so I raised a similar question accordingly. But through discussions with LRC folks and the department and so on, I am very comfortable with this piece of legislation that we see right here. So thank you. So the motion do pass on Senate Bill 34. With that, I would ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
We had 13 yeas.
Having received a majority of the members-elect, Senate Bill 34 passes. And the motion move consent by Representative Kirschman and seconded by Willardson. This is a voice vote. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Bill 34 is now on our consent calendar. Thank you, gentlemen. The next bill on our agenda is Senate Bill 51. Senate Bill 51 is an act to eliminate an obsolete reference to the Division of Commercial Inspection and Regulation. And with that, I will hear public testimony on Senate Bill 51, proponent testimony.
Morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Members of the committee. Paul Merriman, Department of Public Safety, Office of the State Fire Marshal. A brief overview of the bill today. As the bill, as proposed, eliminates an obsolete reference to the Division of Commercial Inspection and Regulation and replaces it with a correct reference to the Department of Public Safety. The bill also makes style and form updates recommended by LRC. That's basically what the bill does. And I'll stand by for questions. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Any other proponent testimony? Proponent testimony to Senate Bill 51. Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 51? Opponents? Seeing no opponents, I will close the public testimony portion on Senate Bill 51 and open it up for committee discussion or action. The motion do pass by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Consett. Any comments, Representative?
No, sir. Piece of cake, slam dunk.
Slam dunk. Thank you very much. I love it. All right. Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion do pass on Senate Bill 51. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield. Hawley.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nurster.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
And Solem.
Aye.
We had 13 yeas.
Senate Bill 51, having received a majority of the vote of the members-elect, passes.
Mr. Chairman.
Please, Representative Jensen.
Move to consent.
Motion to move Senate Bill 51 to our consent calendar by Representative Jensen, seconded by Representative Greenfield. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Bill 51 is on our consent calendar. Thank you, sir. Moving right along, the next item on our agenda is Senate Bill 32, brought to us by the department at the request of the Department of Labor and Regulation. Senate Bill 32 is an act to revise the suitability requirements for annuities. And with that, I will open proponent testimony to Senate Bill 32. Good morning, Mr. Moses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Division of Insurance, Department of Labor and Regulation. Senate Bill 32 amends current law. We, a number of years ago, passed some statutes dealing with suitability of annuity sales in this state, and it was based upon an NAIC, or National Association of Insurance Commissioners, model, and set forth some standards for agents and general agents to make sure that the sales were appropriate to individuals. Subsequent to that, there were some additional discussions at the NAIC level, and the NAIC model was revised. And so what you're seeing with this bill is we're wanting to make those changes in our law to update it and match what the revisions are to the NAIC model. This is one of those rare instances, I think, where we actually get a double win here. We are actually providing additional consumer protection, helping out our citizens of our state, but also doing something for industry in that it's a uniform, streamlined process. If we adopt this, then the other states are adopting it. So they are supportive of this as well. But maybe some of the specifics, just so you know what we're dealing with here. First of all, we're talking about a shifting of the oversight on this. The current law says that the main thrust for overseeing suitability of sales is with the general agent level. This switches it over where the the insurance company is now responsible, takes that responsibility away from the general agents. It also adds some additional requirements such as agent training. If you're going to be selling these products, you've got to have some specific continuing education requirements specific to annuities. We're also updating the cross-references. Currently, the law cross-references an outdated securities law, so we want to update that so that an agent who's selling an annuity and obeys the securities laws, that's a safe harbor, and they're also compliant with these because there's some pretty stringent securities regulations in place as well. So, and then finally, there's some enhanced record keeping requirements involved here for the company. So, we think this is a strong piece of consumer legislation. Provides for additional protection. Again, also provides for uniformity. With that, I urge your passage. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moses. Any other proponent testimony to Senate Bill 32?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Darla Pullman Rogers. I'm an attorney here in Pierre, and I'm a registered lobbyist for NAFA of South Dakota. That's an association of life and health insurance agents. And we rise in support of Senate Bill 32. My agents sell these products, and we support the bill. In particular, we support the adoption of language that conforms our statutes to the updated NAIC model. So we would urge your support of Senate Bill 32. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers. Any other proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Justin Smith, and I am a registered lobbyist for the American Council of Life Insurers. ACLI rises in support of this for all the reasons stated by Randy Moses and Ms. Rogers before me. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony? Proponent testimony. Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 32? Opponent testimony. Seeing no opponent testimony, we'll close the public portion of the discussion on Senate Bill 32 and open it up for committee. Comments or action?
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Two insurance guys, one handing off to the other.
Fighting over this. Huh?
That's pretty good. You guys want to talk about it? Or Representative Hawley?
I move to pass.
Okay. So you both got a bite at the apple there. And the motion do pass on Senate Bill 32 by Representative Hawley, seconded by Representative Willitson. Comments, Representative Hawley?
This industry has a lot of regulations at the federal level for suitability, and this just kind of conforms with it. So I'm glad to see that we at the state level are doing this.
Thank you. Any other comments? Representative Hubble. Oh, did you have a Representative Hubble would like to hear the other insurance agent speak. Representative Willitson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think this is a good consumer protection measure. Keep in mind that the good insurance agents that are working out there are already doing these things. And so this just kind of, you know, brings us into conformance with that. It's a good bill, and it should go on the consent calendar.
Thank you. Any further comments? Seeing none, the motion is due pass on Senate Bill 32. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
No, just kidding.
Just kidding. Hawley.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Willitson?
Aye.
Consett?
She had to leave.
Solem?
Aye.
We had 12 yeas, one excused.
Senate Bill 32, having received a majority of the members elect, passes. Representative Jensen.
Move consent, please.
The consent by Representative Jensen, seconded by Representative Greenfield. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Bill 32 is on our consent calendar. Just be at ease just for a second here. Okay. With that, the chair is going to excuse himself, and I'm going to pass the gavel to Madam Vice Chair for the hearing on the last bill, and if I'm not back, she may close the committee meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We'll get started here. We're going to open the public hearing on House Bill 33. If you'll give me a moment to pull it up. Or Senate Bill. Correct. An act entitled to revise the exemption for insurance agent examinations. Proponent testimony on Senate Bill 33. Welcome.
Morning, Madam Chair, committee members. Merle Shriver, the Division of Insurance, Department of Labor and Regulation. Hopefully I don't break the chain here, the slam dunks or the consent calendar items here, so I'll try not to. This is a simple cleanup bill is what it is. Senate Bill 33 corrects an incorrect cross-reference in the agency examination statute. In that statute, it doesn't require, or is intended not to require, travel agents and attorneys not to be required for the license examination process. So we're correcting an incorrect cross-reference so that they do not have to take that. That is what the status quo is right now, and the attorneys back behind me have little voodoo dolls with the pins in case I say something different. So with that, I'll stand by for any questions. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Who, you?
What license number do you have? Did he used to have? Yeah.
Thank you, sir. We will hear more proponent or any more proponent testimony on Senate Bill 33. Proponents. Seeing none, we will move on to opponent testimony of Senate Bill 33. I like that. Since there was no opponent, we will not have a short rebuttal. I will open it up now to committee questions. No committee questions. That's great. Chair now closes the public hearing on Senate Bill 33, and it opens it up for committee discussion and or action.
Chair.
Representative Willitson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move do pass.
It has been moved by Representative Willitson and seconded by Representative Kirschman for Senate Bill 33. Do pass. Any discussion?
No.
Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is do pass on Senate Bill 33. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nerstrup.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
And Solma is excused. We had 12 yeas, one excused.
Wonderful. Senate Bill 33, having received a majority of the votes above the members present, do pass. It's been moved by Representative Greenfield and seconded by Representative Kirschman to move consent. Any comments? Those in favor will say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. Moved consent on Senate Bill 33. Well, I think that concludes our business for today. I will entertain a motion. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. And that concludes House Energy and Commerce.
Hopefully I'll be there, those of us who don't do that. You're not pulling out.